I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Weekly CCH Picks podcast. As always, you can find all of our content at cchpicks.com, and then the podcast can all be subscribed to on iTunes. Tonight, we've got Colin Wilson at CW of CCH. Colin, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Good to hear, but I want to get to our next guest. Hayden joining us for the first time. Find Hayden at Hayden, used to be at Hayden Picks. I believe he's now changed his name to at Hayden G-O-A-T, which I assume stands for greatest of all time. Hayden, what's going on?
Yes, it does, and I like goats too, so it works both ways. But it's good to be back. Last week, could make it with some work stuff, but looking forward to it this time.
Excellent. Colin, you want to talk about week one at all?
As long as we don't talk about the green wave, sure. We'll talk about Tulsa and their overs. I'm very impressed with Tulsa. Their new head coach was, of course, offensive coordinator Baylor. He was a quarterback's coach down at Houston. He's brought that over to Tulsa. They're going to score a ton of points, 91 this past week with FAU. Arkansas's defense, I do not believe in it. Before I put any side money on them at all, they're going to have to prove it a game for me. And then lastly, Wyoming, Washington State, Kansas, all losing to FCS teams. How do they look this week? One of those three, I think, is going to win as a dog, so we'll talk about that.
So that's what stood out to you, Colin. What about you, Hayden? Anything stand out from week one that you took away?
We'll go out to the Pac-12 here on the West Coast. Rosen from UCLA. He looked like the real deal, believed up to all the hype. Tossed a couple touchdowns, no turnovers in that Virginia game. And some teams, I was really unimpressed with the Pac-12. Actually, I know it's just the 1 week. USC had a cheap game, but Arizona didn't look very good against UTSA. UW's offense looked awful. Oregon State couldn't pull away from Weber State. Wazoo losing to Portland State. So I think the Pac-12 being a little didn't show up week one so far.
Yeah, it's amazing how well Rosen played, considering he's a true freshman. I echo your sentiment, being a Pac-12 guy. All the conversation we've had about Pac-12 and SEC and Pac-12 just didn't show up. I mean, Arizona, they got run over by a pretty inexperienced UTSA. Colorado lost his chalk on the island. How about Stanford? We sat here and talked. We all leaned to Northwestern, but couldn't quite pull the trigger. They lose. Stanford got out-Stanforded by Northwestern. They got physical, punched in the mouth by Northwestern, run all over. Hayden, you mentioned it. Portland State losing is a 30-point dog. Oregon allows 42 to Eastern Washington. So a tough week.
Don't forget my Aggies, huh? Don't forget my Aggies taking down the Sun Devils.
Yeah, they look good. I don't know that I discredit the Sun Devils that much, because I think the Aggies are a good team, but certainly some poor performances across the board in general. So we want to get to the meat of it. We're going to try and get through as many games as we can today, 10, 15, 20, maybe more. We're going to crank out a pod today. We'll come back tomorrow with our normal best bet segment. We'll be joined by Matt Lindemann, same as last week, which had a really good week, got off to a good start with the best bets. So you guys ready to jump into games?
Let's do it.
All right. So I believe the first one on the docket, and let's give a little plug to the consensus, and not that we want to sit here and hype ourselves too much, but we had some, I think we all take different perspectives on games, the way we all look at games. And oftentimes when we ultimately all agree on a game, it's worked out pretty well. I believe last year we ended up 20-10 on consensus games. And what was the record in week one, Colin? Do you have that one tallied?
From this past weekend, we went 6-1.
So a good start. So let's kick it off with a couple of consensus plays. A game we all three like. And that's Army at UConn, and we've all thrown around the Army trend. But Colin, let's remind everybody of that infamous Army trend if they don't already know about it.
Deserves to be retweeted every day the weeks that Army is on the road. Army is now a fat 1-19 against the spread as an away team. I guess the one you would say, well, who was that against? That was against UConn last year, and it was in Yankee Stadium. I got that directly from teamrankings.com. Great website if you guys ever want to look at trends. But, you know, Army, that wasn't really a road game. It was a neutral site game inside of Yankee Stadium. But that win was over UConn. So I do have this one circled, because it's Army's first road game, and they just lost to an FCS team. So this was highly on my list of ones to hit.
But they are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Yeah, and I think if you look at these two teams, that you're right. That game was a neutral game. If you put away neutral and talk about true road games, Army has not covered a true road game since 2011, and that's just absolutely silly. You're right. They both teams played FCS teams last week, where UConn played Villanova, Army played Fordham, and ironically, Fordham and Villanova are playing each other this week. Fordham's a 3-point home favorite, so you adjust for the home field advantage. That's basically a pick'em site. And Army lost to Fordham, where UConn went out and beat a very tough Villanova squad. I know that UConn fell to Army last year, but man, Army sure looks like a dumpster fire. Their quarterback can make some plays, but not much else around him. The way UConn looked last week, I think it's going to be very tough for Army. And once again, they don't cover. I don't see them covering this game. I think that UConn will cover and win by more than 7. We got the line at 6.5. What I'll ask you guys now, the line has trickled up to 7.5. Are either of you guys looking to back this back Army at the current number?
Hayden, you got the final say. There's no way I would touch Army with a stolen flagpole.
And wasn't Villanova a 7-point favorite at UConn last week?
They had steamed up to 7. I mean, they were the favorite at 3 or 4.
Went at 3 and flew up to 7. Well, so you don't take Army, but would you still take UConn at 7.5? Right, it's clicked up over the touchdown mark. Would you still take UConn here as a play?
I will say this: the line has settled. So it came out at 6.5. I immediately, I've got my own power ratings, and they're at the beginning of the year. You kind of have to be flexible with them and not hold them as the Bible. I mean, in November these things are pretty tight, but for this I had it as a 10-point game. So when I saw it come out at 6.5, combined with the trend for Army, I had to hit UConn. It opened up at 6.5. Both Chris and I hit it. It went down to 5. And I said, now who in the hell is putting money down on Army? I was quite, shocked by that. But now we've got it up to -8. I'd still hit it at -8.
Yeah, I think Army ended up being a right angle sports play release this week. I believe I read somewhere. And that may have been where the steam ultimately came from. But I agree. I just don't believe in this Army team. I think UConn will have enough to get it done. So, consensus play number 2, Houston travels to Louisville. Either one of you guys want to take a crack at kicking this one off?
Mr. 14-2, let's hear it.
Yeah, this is with Houston at – I love Greg Ward Jr., the quarterback from Houston. He was a wide receiver last year, transferred to quarterback mid-year on that Temple game, I was on Temple last year and got burned by it. But the guy is just a playmaker. Ran for over 100 yards last week, threw for almost 300, and then you get this Louisville team coming off the Auburn game with Clemson next week and giving up double-digit points here. So we're all in Houston, but it's actually moved up a little bit, I think, Colin, right? It's gone or somebody's...
Yeah, we've got some... This got my eyes open today because, came out at 12.5, and I remember saying, well, I've got this game as a 10-point game. Is it going to get to 13? Is it going to get to 13? And we hit it on Sunday, and it went down to 12, so I felt pretty good about that. Got down to 11.5, and I thought, we had one of our wiser plays of the week. Today, right now, it's sitting at 13.5 with 74% of the tickets coming in on Louisville. For me, when I hit this on Sunday, it was because of, to me, it was a classic sandwich spot. So Louisville's coming off of a brutal game, a real hyped, huge game against Auburn. And this is a meaningless, non-conference game. And now they have to turn right back around and go into Clemson next week, which is, separate the men from the boys in the ACC. So this is a sandwich game that they shouldn't care about at all. And Houston, even though somebody tagged me on Twitter about this, but I said Houston is 7-1-1 against the spread as an away dog. Now, granted, it could have been a different coaching regime. That's still some of the same players. So I like Houston in the trends angle. I like the sandwich spot against Louisville. But now we've got it creeped up to 13.5. And it's going to be – you're going to have to watch our Twitter account at CCH Picks over the next couple of days, because I don't know if I'm going to fire again on Houston or if I might have a little bit of buyback.
Yeah, I like that. The more points I can get, the better. I like this game, and this is exactly what Hayden and Colin touched on. It's a monster sandwich spot. I mean, you've got Auburn on one side and Clemson on the other. It doesn't get more classic than that. You've got coming off a tough game and looking forward to another big game. Colin gave you the trend about Houston on the road. But it's not just that. You can look at both those things, and you look at the team, and I think Hayden hit it right on the head. Greg Ward Jr., he's one of those guys, I mean, that I love to watch play. Cody Kessler's another guy, but a dynamic playmaker that makes this offense go. And I think with Greg Herman now coming over, the offensive coordinator from Ohio State, he takes over this Houston team. I think he's going to do some big things. It's a fantastic spot against a tough Houston team. And then we look, how has Louisville done under Petrino in a similar situation? We had an exact same spot last year. Louisville was in between, had NC State in between Clemson and Florida State. They were laying 18 at home. They won by 12. They were leading by 5 with a minute to go. They broke a long touchdown to seal that game and put it away. They slept through that one. I don't see any reason why they don't sleep through this one and leave Houston hanging around within single digits till late in that game. I love Houston in the points here. So let's move on. And the next one we've got, not a consensus play, but one that that both Colin and I are on. A team that we talked about a lot last year that we didn't know we'd be talking about so early in this year because they surprised us quite a bit in the first week. But the Roadrunners, Meep Meep of UTSA, hosting Kansas State.
Yeah, this one for me, you know, UTSA was one of the biggest the biggest eye-opening things I saw out of week one was when I didn't expect Arizona to, you know, to win anything, do anything special this year. But at the same time, UTSA returned, I think, the minimum number of returning starters and maybe the minimum number of returning lettermen in all of FBS this year. So
least experienced team in the NCAA, I believe.
Yeah, it was an insane number. So, of course, nobody was paying attention to that 31-point spread against Arizona, and they really made a game of it. So here we have a Kansas State team coming in where we have, you know, Bill Snyder is known to most of the people that have been, you know, betting for quite a while that he is one of the best against the spread within the Big 12. He fights everybody. He almost always covers. He's automatic. But then again, when he's out of conference, his against the spread record is 11-17 since 2008. You know, he did have that cover against Auburn last year. I remember that being a very heavily bet, you know, preseason game. But this is, you know, this is a UTSA game that they're going down to San Antonio, and I can't understand, you know, what was going on with UTSA. They had it figured out last week, and I think it was a gift at the number that we got. It's now currently sitting at 17. 55% of the tickets are on Meep Meep at 17. I expect it to stay there, and I still think that's a good number for everybody to get.
Yeah, I was surprised with how well UTSA played that they hung that 21.5, and I agree that still a play at 17. I think it shocked everybody. Least experienced team in the nation. They started 10 freshmen or sophomores last week. They could have won that game. They allowed 2 defensive touchdowns. They gained 525 yards on a team that returned most of their starters on defense that went to the Pac-12 championship last year, and they only allowed Arizona to have 400. And you say, oh, they lost, you know, they lost Scooby Wright. Well, UTSA ran for 183 yards. They hadn't run for that much in 2 years, and they rushed for 51 while Scooby Wright was in there in the first quarter. So it wasn't a fluke. I mean, this is a quality team. They weren't playing some FCS team, and so I think that 21.5 was just a joke that they hung. Mm-hmm. And Kansas State, you know, they weren't all that impressive against South Dakota State. Their defense was, but offensively, South Dakota, who's a very mid-low level FCS team, wasn't real impressed. They lost their starting quarterback in the first series, Jesse Ertz, and they now had to go to their redshirt junior, Joe Huebner. So they've got a new quarterback coming in. Yeah, he did play a lot of last week. He's a career 50% passer. So now you've got a new quarterback in. You wonder, does Snyder just try and slow down the game, try and make it a power rushing attack, keep it in safe throws? I see this game slowing down, UTSA hanging around. I agree, that 17.5 probably still too high, and I think the Roadrunners hang around again and throw a scare into someone else. So if we look at the next game we want to talk about is another one of our teams we hyped in the preseason, but Appalachian State traveling to take on Deshaun Watson and Clemson. Colin, where are you sitting there?
Well, I've been fighting Yosefs ever since last March. I've been tweeting about them. We got it up as the Avy. It opened up at 22.5. We scooped it up immediately. I had this as about a 17.5 point game. The 22.5 disappeared immediately for us on Sunday. Currently, right now, we're sitting at about 86% of the tickets on Clemson, and it's trickled back up. We had it 17 across the board. We're now looking at 18 at Pinnacle, 18.5 on square shops like Sportsbook. You can still get a 17 at minus 125 on Clemson over a bet online. But remember what we just talked about Louisville. They have some overlook going into next week against Clemson. So I don't expect, you know, Clemson, who just lost one of their key wide receivers, they're taking on this App State team. They probably don't even care. This App State team can ball. I mean, I've been talking about them for 5 or 6 months, so this is the game.
App State can ball. We've hyped them up before. We've talked about everything they have returning. We like them to win the Sun Belt. And you're right, Clemson just keeps taking hits every week. I mean, they lost a number of players off their defense, Corin Wiggins at linebacker. They lost a defensive back in the preseason. You know, their blindside tackle went into the supplemental draft. And then what happens last week? You mentioned it, Colin. They lose their best wide receiver. So Deshaun Watson, I think, is maybe the best quarterback in the nation and is going to do big, big things and will probably be at the Heisman ceremony come December. But they just keep losing key pieces. And you've got a team in here that's very, very capable. And just as you said, with a major look ahead on deck, watch out. This is not an easy team to prepare for. Last week they had to prepare for the wishbone with Wofford. Now they have to prepare for a completely different type of rushing attack where App State likes to run that more downhill, straight ahead running game with Marcus Cox led by an H-back. And Taylor Lamb now is more experienced, and he's going to be able to sling it around a little bit. They'll open it up a little bit more for him. So watch out for this App State team to hang around. Also, a sad story that hit the wire this week, that Devin Stringer, the starting linebacker for Appalachian State, lost his daughter on Monday, who was just a week old. Ironically, Devin Stringer grew up with Deshaun Watson, and they're childhood friends. So watch out that this App State defense will be playing with a very heavy heart, talented team. Look ahead for Clemson. 17.5 is still a play for me. I think that, again, a team that hangs around and probably puts a scare into Clemson this weekend.
Yeah, Stringer had a tackle and an assist last week, so I completely expect this App State defense to be like a beehive.
Virginia's the next one. That's another one we grabbed an early line, and it's trickled against us a little bit. I can see why Notre Dame looked like a giant killer. Colin, where do you stand there?
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Chris just said it. They look like a giant killer, so I would expect, and as I'm seeing here, 90% of all the tickets are on Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame gets an amazing amount of public money anyways. You know, it's people just cannot they bring in some of the most money of any college football team, so I immediately expected this. I had this power rated as Notre Dame -3, and I remember staring at that, and I was checking my numbers, and the thing is I wasn't I like the way Notre Dame looked. I think Notre Dame is a great team, but I don't think Virginia is that bad of a team. They're at home, and these players are fighting, you know, for their lives to have, you know, Mike London keep a job. So, you know, my power ratings had this a touchdown less than what it actually should be. Virginia's at home. I saw all the value in the world with them after Notre Dame made Texas look just completely silly. You would think everybody would be lined up at the window to take Notre Dame, and that's the time to be looking at the team like Virginia where they're still fighting for their coach.
And yeah, go ahead, Hayden.
Yeah, I just want to say last week with that Virginia game, that game should have been a lot closer than I think that score indicated. In the first half, Virginia drove the ball well, but they're like three times in a row, I think it was in the first quarter or into the second quarter, and they only scored 9 points when they're in UCLA inside the 25. They just didn't score a touchdown. So I think that game should have been a little bit closer here than what it looked. I know UCLA covered, well, I mean, depending on when you get the number, I know it. I think it landed 18, it was 19 or 17, whatever you got. But that game should have been closer than what the score indicated, I think.
That's you took away one of my points exactly, Hayden, that they moved the ball last week, and they numerous times got into UCLA territory and just didn't capitalize, and they have to do that this week. And there's a completely different story from laying 9 points at home in front of your crazy crowd to all of a sudden laying and needing to cover double digits on the road. That's just not an easy thing to do. And I'm a believer in the Notre Dame offense. You know, the Texas defense is solid, and what the Notre Dame offense did, Malik Zaire proved everything to me. But I don't know about the Notre Dame defense yet. Are they talented? They have a number of players? 100%. I think they're a very good defense. But I think we have to assess, was that all Notre Dame defense? Was that Texas offense just being putrid, or was that a combination of both? And I think it's probably a little bit of a combination of both. That Notre Dame's a very good defense, but let's go back and not just look at Texas last week. But what did Texas do the last two times we saw them offensively? I believe we saw him against Arkansas getting held to about 60 yards.
59.
Yeah, 59. There you go. Thank you. And before that, I think they had 100-something in the game before that. So I don't think I'd ever think I'd be saying this. I think Virginia has a better offense than Texas and will show more and definitely is going to score more this weekend. And it's a completely different scenario when you are at home laying points to all of a sudden you got to go on the road and lay double digits. I think Virginia shows better. To Hayden's point, they punch in a couple touchdowns this week. They hang around this game. You look at under Brian Kelly, Notre Dame is 2-3 against the spread as a double-digit road favorite. How about the other side? How's Virginia getting points at home? The last six times they've gotten points at home, they covered five of them. Last year, they played four ranked teams. They covered every time they played a ranked team. All things to keep in mind. I know that line is trickling up away from us a little bit. Watch out. This is the game that makes you scratch your head. I'm sure out there Joe Public's looking like, oh, yeah, Notre Dame is going to murder these guys. Do not be surprised. This game's much closer than people think, and Notre Dame has a little bit of sweat on their hands. All right, next consensus. We're back to the consensus plays. I believe this is our third. Hayden, you want to kick us off a little bit? Anything you want to talk about with North Texas at SMU, who appeared to look a little bit like they had a pulse last week?
Yeah, actually had an offense and could score points, right? Right. Yeah, with SMU, I mean, they look like completely changeover from last year, just the attitude and the new coaching. And, I mean, they can make plays. They were throwing bombs last week against Baylor. And now they host this North Texas team. And I think you guys got out at a pick, I think, right?
We did, yeah. Open at a pick.
Yeah, I got a -1. I was sleeping Sunday morning. So I work night, so it's a little crazy. But, yeah, I think I'm going to ride this SMU train for a little bit here. I don't think everything's caught up with it. I believe it's at 5 now, right, Colin?
Yeah, it's at, you know, as you're talking, it just clicked up to 5.5.
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a little slow to adjusting it from how bad they were last year. And I know they fell apart last week against Baylor in the second half, but they looked – I mean, they hung with them in the first half for a little bit, but I think they just kind of ran out of gas. And so when they bring in a weaker North Texas team this week, I think we got a good number on that, but – I still think the -4, -5 probably good here still.
Yeah, and the thing is the -4.5 is still hanging to places like the LVH and at the Wynn and Cantor Gaming. So if you're local in Vegas, you can still go get, you know, down on the 4. But, you know, as far as that's concerned, I'm staring at Bookmaker at 5.5, BetOnline at 5.5, and Pinnacle. You know, Pinnacle's actually hanging at 4.5, but it's $1.23. So, you know, SMU, we got it at pick, and the reason was because you know, what we saw against Baylor was no fear. This is a different team. This isn't June Jones. This is a different team. They are very well coordinated. You know, they're managed well. They're coordinated well. And this team's got an offense to them. North Texas, for you people that don't know from Denton, is an art school. So I had no problem whatsoever taking SMU at a pick. I would have no problem taking them at -1. But the thing is it steamed so much that by the time you hear this podcast, maybe a 6, maybe a 6.5, this turns into a perfect tease piece for you because, you know, I've got, you know, a complete unit on Pick'em. So if you tease it, you can get down there too. So if you're not comfortable with the 5.5, which I actually still would be because it's still clicking up, you know, you can tease it.
Yeah, I think Hayden hit right on the head for me where I just don't think Vegas has quite wants to give SMU enough credit, but I saw enough from the first half. And really it's an offensive identity, and that's all Chad Morris coming over from Clemson and what he's instilled in this team. Matt Davis looks to be a completely different quarterback. They should have had 24, if not 28 first half points. They botched that last drive at the goal line where they were trying to tie the game. No shame in giving up 600 yards to Baylor. Everyone gives up 600 yards to Baylor, but what we saw offensively gives me signs of hope. And if you kind of look through the drive chart of SMU, they did hold Baylor to 3 consecutive 3 and outs. So we did see the defense rise up and make some plays. That's where we all want to see continued improvement, but I think the offense is what will get them over the hump this week. Totally agree. Chad Morris and SMU lay the number. I think they cover that. And like Colin said, if it gets a little too high, it could be a solid tease piece.
Yeah, I want to put a small shout out to the over too. I think there's two teams right now in FBS that it's going to take everybody a while to catch up to their overs, and that's Tulsa and that's SMU.
Well, Tulsa basically was breaking records last week how quickly they were snapping the ball, right? I think they snapped like every 15 seconds or something crazy last week.
Yeah, 3 miles from my house. They still can't get 100 people in Skelly, but yeah, they were breaking records like crazy.
All right. Oh, one of my favorite teams, and this is one that Hayden jumped on early. He kind of got Colin and I turned on to it, and boy, have I warmed up to it. Someone, a team in my backyard, a team that we affectionately refer to as Man Jose State. The line opened at 7. We were a little slow as we were focused on other games. Hayden grabbed 6.5. I grabbed 6.5. Colin might have a half a point or a point a little bit lower. But San Jose State, I know Hayden and I both also on the money line, traveling to Air Force. Give me a little info on that guy, Hayden.
I think we all like this team probably a little too much. You're on the season wins over, I believe, 4.5, or is it?
Yeah, I do, and I'm a big fan of the Spartan team. A bit of talent return this year, and actually had one of their better recruiting classes they've had in a long time. What they did to a top 10 New Hampshire team last week was silly. And if you look at the San Jose State teams of the past, they've had very competitive games and been unable to put FCS teams away. Last week against the top 10 New Hampshire team, they dropped a school record 700 yards, over 700 yards. So an absolutely impressive piece of offense with Joe Gray at quarterback. A lot of new faces being installed in there with their strong recruiting class. Now, you know that Air Force is always challenged because you always got to get ready for that option. But Air Force is breaking a new quarterback and basically an entirely new defense. So San Jose State will give up some points. I think if they can get a couple stops, I think they'll move the ball all night all over this Air Force offense. San Jose State, plus whatever points you can find and play the money line, San Jose State, Man Jose State, wins this game outright.
Yeah, and I'll throw in a little bit extra here. So if you guys, you know, we kind of love our little chaser segment that we have here, and this applies to a chaser segment as it kicks off at 9:15 Central Time, so 10:15 out for you East Coast fans. Right now we got 64% of the tickets coming in on Air Force, opened up at 7. It's dropped down to 5.5 on BetOnline, dropped down to 5.5 at the Westgate and at Pinnacle. So, you know, if you want San Jose State, better hop on it now.
And with Air Force, they, like Chris said, they lost four of the front seven and three of their four starters coming into this season. So a lot of turnover, and I think you got to add the money line here. And if you do, you know, some crazy parlays with a couple dogs, this has to be in it for sure.
Dirty lay,
yeah, exactly. And I've got them installed in with a couple other teams there. All right, let's move on to quick hitters where maybe one or two of us have bet it. Just a quick sentence on why you like it, and we'll move forward. And that way we can cover as many games as possible. Colin, you jumped on UMass.
Yep.
I've taken it at another lower number. I didn't actually post this game, but UMass, let's talk about them. We love the Minutemen.
Yeah, with Hayden as my witness, standing the LVH, just probably tanked up. He saw me put a whole bunch of money on UMass and a bunch of futures on them. Colorado 0-5 straight up in their last five games, 1-7 straight up their last eight home games. Remember what I said last week. Georgia State cannot beat Charlotte because they don't have a winning identity. They've won two games in 3 years. Colorado's getting into sort of a little of identity crisis here where they don't even know how to win a game. It's pretty evident for those of you that stayed up late enough to watch that Hawaii game, but they just cannot find a way to win. They seem to find ways to lose. UMass, better quarterback. I don't want to get killed because it's been 3 years I've been trying to pronounce Fron Apple's name. He's better than almost every quarterback he faces. UMass, 7-2-1 against the spread as a dog. I power rated this game with Colorado a little bit over a touchdown, but to me this has Minutemen money line and points all over it.
What's the line currently at, Colin?
So this line right now is sitting at 13 across the board. It's it's kind of getting 50-50 in there, but this did originally open up at 16. And when I looked at it on Sunday, when we both looked at it, Chris, you know, I said, whoa, that's too many points. And, we like UMass a lot in the spot. By the time I got around to betting it, it had already flown down to 14.5. So it steadily got itself down to 13, and it hasn't moved. The 13 is still good.
That's what I was going to ask. You know, this trickle down, would you still endorse a play here? It sounds like you would.
Absolutely. And I think the last thing I'd say is Pinnacle is one of the sharpest books out there, and they're sitting down at 12.5. I'd still take 12.5. I'd still hit the money line. I'd play it down until under 10.
Okay, great. Hayden, you took Oregon State, who you mentioned earlier did not look very impressive against Weber State, traveling to a Michigan team who lost and missed opportunities in some big plays against Utah. Michigan hosts that game on Saturday afternoon. You're on Michigan, right? What's the number you got there?
Yeah, I got 14. I believe it's went up to 17 now. But the Oregon State-Weber State game was Friday night. And after, I know I don't want to, like, react to week one. It's only one game, but I really think Oregon State's going to struggle this year. I thought they were going to be the worst team in the Pac-12, and WSU kind of went up in there by losing to Portland State at home on Saturday. But I just think they're going to struggle to score points here. And you get a Michigan team coming off that Utah game where the interceptions hurt them. I was on Utah, so the pick six at the end was big. But first game at home, the Harbor Air starts, and I just think it's just going to be, honestly, a blowout. I think it's going to be – this could be a 28-30-point win here.
And
with Oregon State not being able to score the ball, I think Michigan's going to run the score up. So yeah. I laid the 14 with Michigan.
And I want to tag into Boy Wonder here, because one thing not mentioned is that this game is at 11 o'clock in the morning Central time. That is a very sleepy 9 a.m. time for Pacific – for Pacific teams playing at the Big House there. Currently 16.5 on five dimes. Again, if you're not comfortable with that number, I still think you're okay with Michigan, because I think Hayden's right. I think it's going to be a blowout. Here's your tease piece, because a 7-point tease piece crosses all kinds of key numbers.
Yeah, and that's let's go from one blowout to another. So a team that that I'm backing this week is Georgia Tech, and fading Tulane. I know we spent a lot of time in the last couple weeks hyping up Tulane, and there were so many triggers that told us that Tulane would be able to hang right in with Duke, and just absolutely fell flat on their face and actually looked like this team had regressed. Tanner Lee was making terrible reads all night. They were unable to run the ball at all. A defense or an offense that had lost all their playmakers was really able to move the ball all over Tulane, and Duke was able to beat the Green Wave by 30 points. Usually, one of the things I'll look at from week one is the teams that looked really bad, and not trying to overreact and say, okay, I might be able to go back to the drawing board again with this team, because generally what you'll see from week one to week two is teams make their greatest improvements. What I saw from Tulane was abysmal, and I love this Georgia Tech team. I think they're a top six or seven team. You know, Justin Thomas is the absolute perfect quarterback to run this offense with his decision-making and just enough talent throwing the ball. I think they can name their number this week. They'll go for over 50. I think this is blowout city and an absolute they could make this line 38, and I'd still lay the points with G-Tech. I think it's an absolute blowout.
Yeah, 86% of the money on Georgia Tech, and it's still sitting on 28.5. I commend you for you know, fading Tulane. Man, I want no part of those dirty bastards.
Yeah, that's usually not my forte, to be on that side with no movement and all that money coming in. Just from what I saw from those two teams, I absolutely feel like that this Georgia Tech team is going to do whatever they want against this Tulane defense that just really didn't show much of a pulse last week against what I consider to be not a very good Duke offense. Hayden, you're up next on the next one. I know you grabbed, was it Colorado State midweek? And what's the number you got there? And I believe Colorado State hosting Minnesota.
I got 6.5, and I'm pretty sure it's still 6.5 as we're recording this pod here tonight. It's just a little play. I mean, not my favorite play of the week by any means, but with the Minnesota team coming off that big TCU game at home, now they got to travel out to Colorado State, an early game. I think I was just kind of a little fade there, so I took the 6.5 with Minnesota, almost laying the touchdown there. I do think Colorado State has a good chance to actually win this game. I think it's going to be close. So I might be adding some money line later to that, but I did grab the 6.5 at home.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with Hayden again, because you know, I think Bobo, I have a problem with first year coaches in new situations, and the thing is SMU surprised me, Colorado State surprised me. Right now Minnesota's getting 72% of the tickets, and it has fallen off of 6.5 back to 6. So I think this is a great call.
Did you guys happen to catch the Scott Van Pelt's Badge Beat show on Sunday night?
It was that touchdown, right, at the end of the game.
Or was that 51.5-point spread, right?
Yeah, and Colorado State was up, 45, 46, 47. And with 15 seconds to go, Bobo, instead of kneeling on a team he's already beating by 40-some-odd points, runs the ball and scores a touchdown. So
I respect
tough break.
It.
Tough break if you were on Savannah State. Clearly.
And Stanford Steve said on SVP Sports Center, he said, Bobo does not take a knee in any situation.
I respect. Stomp on their throat. Score as many as you can. I like it.
Remember that. Another team that boat raced this last week was USC, and you're taking the other side with the, I believe, 43 with Idaho this week.
Yeah, you know, and my whole thing about that was, again, it came down to my power ratings. My power ratings had this as USC winning by 35.5 points. So I thought the 42.5 was a touchdown too much. I knew that USC was going to get pounded. They're getting over 80% of the tickets, and the line is really sat on 42.5 up to 43 right now. This has nothing to do with Idaho. I don't like Idaho. I think they're terrible. But at the same time, USC plays Stanford next week in a huge game, and I'm not really, you know, it's Sark after dark again. It's a late game, but I'm not sure. I mean, 43 is just a huge number to try and cover. So, you know, at the same time, Idaho did score some points against, you know, just Ohio. But I think that they can cover the 43. I think there's going to be too much public love on USC this week.
Nice, yep. And next one I've got is Texas Tech. I'm not going to spend much time here. I got 17 on it. It's up to 21. I wouldn't endorse a play at 21, so I won't spend much time here. But I think that, again, this Texas Tech team, which has dropped 59 through three quarters, will be able to do whatever they want against UTEP. And to be honest, the Sam Houston State team that scored 14 late to get within 14 of Texas Tech, I think actually has a better offense than UTEP. I think it'll be a complete blowout. But at the number it's crept up to, I think a little bit unplayable. So I will move on from that one. Colin, this is a similar situation. You grabbed a great number on the Tulsa over. What's it creeped up to, and would you still recommend a play there?
75.5. I will remind everybody they scored 91 last week. I know it was an overtime game, but it was just one overtime game. This New Mexico team can also move the ball. Tulsa can't play any defense. I fully expect there to be a ton of points. But if you take anything away from this, Tulsa plays OU next week down in Norman, and OU will be coming off the Tennessee game. That game, if the total when it's released on Tuesday is under 100, you need to fire on the over.
Yeah, Tulsa's clearly going to continue to try and break as many records as they can with the snaps. So I see you're going there, and you've obviously got a great line. Another dog I like that I've got in my dirty lay this week is Wake Forest. They are another team, just like SMU, that showed a pull. So, although, again, it was against Elon, so you don't want to get too excited, but I like Wake this week. I mean, they've John Wolford showed some things. He struggled as a first-year starter a year ago, but maybe things have slowed down for a little bit. 20-27 for 323 last week. Last year, the team was the worst team offensively in the entire NCAA by 50 yards, and they averaged 1.25 per carry. Last week, we mentioned Wolford threw for over 300. He actually ran for 63-2, and they had a couple running backs for over four carries. So it's Elon, but showing some signs of improvements with their skill players, with their quarterback. I think Wolford's development, they've got a lot of new freshman faces at wide receiver and running back. I think the concern for this team is their offensive line, and they are very inexperienced, and can they keep Wolford upright? If he can stay upright, the kid can make some reads and make some plays. But I like where this offense is headed. And then you look at who they're playing this week. Syracuse didn't have a lot returning, not real impressed with this team, and Terrell Hunt, back last year from an injury, was their best quarterback returning. You know, he hurts himself. He's out for the year. So now they have a true freshman, Eric Dungy, coming in. You know, this is a great opportunity for actually a pretty solid Wake team with a good group of linebackers. Know they lost a couple guys to the NFL in the secondary. Pretty good defense to kind of feast on this freshman here. I like Wake Forest and Walford to continue to show improvement this week. Again, I think this ends up being just like San Jose State. The books haven't caught up yet. Wake Forest plus whatever points you can find. I believe it's trickled down. Play the money line, they win this game. By the way, I do want to give a shout out to Jimmy Shivers and Max, two guys who I know Max involved with Saturday Edge, both great follows on Twitter, who actually got me turned on to this game. And once I dug in, got real confident in the play. So thanks to those guys who are absolutely great follows, Jimmy Shivers and Max Sabert from Saturday Edge. So shout out to those two who had UCLA and UNLV over. You grabbed that midweek. Hayden, where were you there?
Yeah, I watched that UNLV game last week versus Northern Illinois. There's some other games going on, but I was just really interested in this UNLV team. It's a team that was awful last year. I like to look for those teams like SMU, like UNLV, who are really bad, who I think some new coaches changes that can bring in a new pulse and kind of jump on them early. So I grabbed the 21 with UNLV last week. They lost by 8, so they got the cover, but their defense looked all right in the first half versus Northern Illinois, but the second half, I mean, it just looked like last year. The adjustments got made, and they had no answer for it. And they have UCLA coming into town, and I really think UCLA can just – I mean, they can score as much as they want here. And I told myself when I knew the game was coming up, I was just like, I don't think they can set the total high enough for it. And I told myself it was below 65. I'm going to take it, and it was 63.5. I think I got 64 because I slept on it a little bit, but I really think this goes way over. UNLV should be able to put up some points, maybe if, even if it's late in the second half and the game's not close. But, I mean, UCLA, I think, can score up to 50 here. So I took the over there. And then, Colin, you got the over in Mississippi State, right, LSU?
I do. It's, you know, the number came out at 49. Anybody that can do a little math knows that that's seven touchdowns. So I thought... so that's a seven scores. And, you know, I think, we're going to talk about this game a little bit here. I'm waiting for Mississippi State to stop steaming before I hit them. And Hayden and I give credit to Hayden for saying that the first half probably has more value in it because LSU hasn't played a game yet. And their quarterback, they have two quarterbacks that need to get some playing time in. Well, their first game is in Starkville. I mean, if you've been to Starkville, you probably never go back. So I've been there before. The cowbell is real. So, you know, the two quarterbacks, they need their time, and they didn't get any time. And, you know, I think a first-half money line play on Mississippi State is great. But the over, I think these two teams are going to – I think Dak Prescott's going to kick it. I think Fournette's going to be able to go. It's just – I think this over is an easy play.
Yeah, and it's, you hit on that. Everyone is loving LSU, and I absolutely get the love. And they've seen that line of minus three, and, oh, my goodness, Mississippi State – couldn't put away Southern Miss. First off, Southern Miss, a dramatically improved team. But it's a different scenario when you're on the road versus at home. And to Colin's point, now Cowbell goes home in the friendly confines. And they may have lost some starters. They still have Dak Prescott back. And you cannot understate how important it is that they have one game under their belt. I mentioned it before, but the largest improvement a team sees the entire year is from game one to game two. All those new faces on offense and defense, they are now one game more experienced where LSU hasn't played, and I still have major questions about their quarterback. So, I get the LSU love with all the talent on defense and Fournette and so forth. Watch out. At home, the team's got a game under their belt. Dan Mullen in conference has never had a losing spread as the Mississippi State coach. Watch out for Mississippi State. I think Hayden's right. A money line, first line play could be the way to go. I also don't think a lot of people are going to line up to back this team. So that might be a team you want to look at. Mississippi State, they're going to hang around this weekend, and I don't think many people expect them to.
But wait to take that last number because it's still trucking.
I mean, exactly.
I might be on the full game. I mean, if we get like six and a half here, I mean, I stared at LSU minus three, but I don't know. Something just told me that I knew better not to take it. So I mean, I'm flipped. I'm on Mississippi State. And I mean, if that gets any higher, I mean, it might be just first maybe split the bet with first half and full game.
Yeah, I got to think at some point in time there'll be some buyback on this game, but we'll see. I mean, you've got to kind of monitor the line here to see how high that it's willing to be pushed. So we want any other quick thoughts on some games? I know there's a big one on Thursday. Any thoughts on Louisiana Tech and Western Kentucky? You know, for me personally, this is Louisiana Tech is the team that I thought would win the conference. I know Western Kentucky played a tough Vandy D, but still that vaunted offense only put up 249 yards of offense. I think Louisiana Tech goes in there and wins that game.
I think it's a conference championship preview because from what I saw from Marshall, there's no way they're winning their division. So I think Western Kentucky and La Tech, this could be a championship game preview.
And Vandy last week had some dumb turnovers. I think they threw two interceptions in the end zone. Missed the field goal. That game, I mean, Western Kentucky should have had no business winning that game at all. And with the La Tech team coming in, who I know you like to win the conference, I think they might steal that game, even though it's on the road at Western Kentucky.
Speaking of stealing games, I think Hayden needs to talk about Nevada. And the reason is because he woke up on Sunday and his first text to us was, Nevada's beating Arizona.
Yeah, I haven't added the money line yet, but I do think this is going to be a close game. And again, it's similar to that Minnesota game with taking Colorado State at home. But with Arizona, I mean, I know the Pac-12 looked bad all over, but Arizona giving up over almost 550 yards to a UTSA team who is extremely young, inexperienced at home. Now they lose their best defensive player in Scooby Wright, and now they got to travel to Nevada, lay double digits on the road. I'll take the points with Nevada at home. And I hope they can keep it close versus an Arizona team who I really don't like Rich Rodriguez at all. Him and Mark Richt are like two of my most – I know they've been coaching forever, but they recruit talent and I get it. But those two guys, they don't get everything out of their team. I feel like with the talent that comes in, they just underperform year after year. So with a later game Saturday, Nevada should be fired up hosting a Pac-12 school. I'll take the double digits at home.
like it. So the last game before we get to any specific questions is the reason we're recording this pod on Wednesday is I fly out. I have a 7 a.m. flight out of San Francisco, and I'm heading to Detroit to then make the hour-and-a-half drive over to East Lansing with about 12 buddies. It's our annual trip that we make, so I'm amped up to be there in person and see this Oregon offense and Michigan State environment at home. Where do you guys stand on this game, and who do you guys think wins this game?
Well, I'll go first, you know, because I have a future on Oregon winning the national championship. Now, they could lose this game, win the Pac-12. Highly unlikely, but, you know, we've seen teams lose games and run through their conference and win before. But, you know, just the way the spread, it's inflated, opened up 2.5. I think it was a pick at some places. It's up to 4, 63% of the tickets coming in on Michigan State. To me, this game comes down to, can Oregon play defense against Cook? That's what it comes down to for me. I lean Oregon in the points, but we'll see.
I really regret, I saw Michigan State -1, and I have no idea why I did not bet it, but I do think Michigan State's going to win. And with the Oregon future, I think it's better to lose the game early, the first 1 or 2 weeks, if you're going to lose one. Not like at Michigan State's a bad loss, but for national championship, or should I say college football playoff, you know, implications. Even if they lose this game on the road, if they win the Pac-12 North, which I think comes down between Cal and Oregon there, with Stanford looking as bad as they did, I think they're going to take a step back, and the rest of the North is just awful. And if they can, you know, beat UC or USC or UCLA, who I think is coming from the South in the Pac-12 championship, I mean, I still think they're going to get in the playoff. But here, I really like this Michigan State team. I think they're just overpower Oregon, especially in offense. I don't think Oregon's going to be able to get enough stops either. And I know Vernon Adams had that hit at the end of the game last week. I don't know his status.
He's cleared to play, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to play.
It looked kind of bad as he got hit low. I mean, late when he slid, his head kind of bounced off the ground. I mean, I'm not going to say he got a concussion for sure, because, you know, every situation's different, but it kind of looked like he might have had one. But if he's cleared to play, then that's good news for them. But I still like, I'll probably add Michigan State money line in some type of parlay.
Yeah, but I really, the same thing goes for the Spartans, though. If they lose this game, their national championship game is against Ohio State, because they can still make the Big 10 championship. So, you know, I want to say good luck to Chris. Have a great time. I was in East Lansing once for a project, and I found a little place next to Subway, a little mini mall that actually dealt blackjack for cash money. I don't know how they pulled that off on the East Lansing campus.
But I got to find this place.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. There's a good Chipotle around there, too.
I agree, Hayden. I saw the pick, and I whiffed on it, and I know there's a couple people on Twitter that hit that. Oregon's offense is gonna do some things. It's so dynamic, but there's two things that concern me. It's not Marcus Mariota back there, and Marcus Mariota did what? He never, ever turned the ball over, ever. Yep. Vernon Adams cannot afford to turn the ball over once or twice in a daunting environment Saturday night. If he does, that will cost them. And what I didn't expect was them to allow 40-plus points to Eastern Washington. And what's scary about that, Eastern Washington starting quarterback, who would have been their backup, by the way, at Vernon Adams State, got hurt. Their third stringer came in and threw for over 100-plus yards and was throwing dimes all over the place and completing the ball. So that's really concerning for this Oregon defense. I think you have to look at those results and not wonder how Oregon stops this Michigan State, this team, right? I mean, you now advantage defense to the Spartans. Advantage offensive line to the Spartans. Certainly Oregon has better skill talent. And while Vernon Adams is dynamic, Connor Cook's going to definitely be playing in the NFL next year. So I think the Spartans are a play as well. I've actually played them on the money line. If you have five dimes, I'd recommend open up a parlay, grab 3 or 4 14, 15, 16, 17-point favorites along with the Michigan State money line. Get that game at plus money and play Michigan State. That's how I'm attacking the game.
Oregon might be a little, I mean, I don't think Vernon Adams ever played in this type of environment. It could be wrong, but I might be on some Michigan State first quarter. I mean, I think it's going to just come out and punch him right in the mouth, and we'll see if Oregon rallies or not.
So it looks like our first question is from MP Moore, at MP Moore 1. He wanted to know about the Bama Blue Raiders game. Any chance the Raiders cover?
You know, right now it's sitting 35? At
35?
Yeah, 35.5 is what it's sitting at right now. So, you know, you're sitting at five scores plus. You know, right now there's, you know, bulk of the tickets, 80% of the tickets coming in on Bama, of course. You would expect that. You know, I have this game power rated as a 33, so really to me it's a flip of the coin.
Yeah, I think when you see all the tickets coming in Alabama, no surprise there, the way they looked on national TV against a Wisconsin team that's big in name, but certainly a Joel Stavi-led offense. this might be a place I'd look to back the dog, getting all those points. You wonder, what does Bama let off the gas a little bit early here, just given, you know, the way they played last week. You might get some value with the dog there. And according to your power rings, you're getting 2.5 points there, but this might be one of those ones you let it continue to steam up because you might be able to catch 37, 38 by game day. So Darshan at Dogs, D-A-W-G-S-R-X, asked about the total on Thursday night between La Tech and Western Kentucky game we just covered. We didn't talk about the total. Colin, where's that total sit?
Right now we're sitting at open at 67, all the way down to 61, with 83% of the money coming in on the over. So that is definitely some shaky movement going on there. With 83% of the money coming in on the over, and you've got 6 points falling from the total, you might want to, I don't know, you might want to jump on it. Hopefully maybe it gets up to 63 if you want to take the under, but you definitely want to get it before it gets to 60.
I mean, Western Kentucky's offense looked, I mean, I was expecting them to put up points last week, and look, I know, again, it's just one game, but it didn't look good last week at all.
Yeah, and I haven't spent a lot of time in this game on the total, at least, but just given those numbers right there, that would be a sign for me to stay away or play the under. I'm not, I don't think I'd jump in on that over. So Peter Mayer at Peter W. Mayer asked about at what point certain lines lose value, especially Michigan State and Oregon. I think we've talked about that a little bit, that maybe we feel like at now it's probably a money line play with the get up to 4 or so. Also LSU, Mississippi State. We're all liking the dog now, but want to wait on that one. And then Minnesota, Colorado State. You guys have any thoughts on at what certain point those lines have lost value? I know we addressed it a little bit, but anything to add there?
I think the only thing I want to throw in to Peter was last week, the South Carolina, North Carolina game was a perfect example of what I call ghost steam, right? So we're sitting at around 2.5 plus 3 for North Carolina. And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out and it's down to plus 1. Didn't cross a key number, but it makes everybody catching on to the game 1 hour before think, oh my gosh, everybody's laying into North Carolina. You know, sometimes this ghost steam happens right before games and it doesn't cross key numbers. So I just know what your key numbers are, know how, know if you're trying to get both sides or if you're just trying to have a straight up pick, you know, try to have some insight as to whether it's going to cross a key number, but don't fall for ghost steam.
And last week, an example of that was I made a bad pick with the Penn State game. In the last couple of weeks, I was sitting at, you know, minus 6.5, and I was thinking about it. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. And Saturday morning, I get off work, and I look, and it's 5.5, and I jump on it. And I was like, why did my opinion change that much when it just from 6.5 to 5.5, which really isn't, you know, with, like, those numbers there, you know, 5.5 is a dead number, obviously, so... It just depends on like what number is crossing, and I should have laid off the Penn State game because they got their offensive line is absolutely awful. Like it's just Hackenberg getting sacked at left and right.
Ten sacks, my goodness.
Yeah, I know. It's like people are blaming him. I'm like, he has no help. Like
he has no help, and that Temple defense is for real.
Well, yeah, Temple has a very experienced defense, and but I mean, like he gets sacked 10 times, and I'm sure you know. I mean, probably some of them are his fault. I didn't watch most of the game, but I mean, seriously, I don't even know how you can play quarterback when you're just running for your life. Like he is every single game.
So one of our last couple questions at Rolling Jordan. Jordan Rolling asks about the Iowa State game. That's not a game we addressed. Any thoughts there? My initial lean, having dug into those two teams, I do lean Iowa a little bit. I think Iowa could be one of those sneaky good teams, maybe like Northwestern showed last week. I know Iowa State has gotten them 3 of the last 4 years, but was C.J. Beathard look good? That, you know, maybe played a little defense last week. Again, I know not against a top-tier opponent, but I lean Iowa this week. I know, Hayden, you may feel a little different there, and Colin, I don't know where you stand on this game.
Yeah, I'm 50-50 on the game. I mean, yeah, well, I should say this. I'm 4 points because there was a long streak in this series where, you know, the team with the points is going to cover because it's usually played so closely. So, you know, sitting at 3.5, I would favor the points. There's nothing in the numbers that I'm seeing. It's 50-50 on the spread, 50-50 on the total, so... You know, it's a stay-away game for me.
Yeah, same. It caught my eye, obviously, with a kind of – I mean, they're not in the same conference, but with a rivalry game coming into this week. And I saw the 4.5, and I looked at it, and I just – I don't know. Something told me off on it, so I'm probably going to pass on it. But, I mean, if I had to pick, I'd probably go with Iowa State.
And our final question comes from Colin Crook, at Colin Crook, C-R-O-O-K. Colin was asking about spots looking ahead to week 3. And we certainly address those. The two biggest ones being Villanova and Notre Dame, and that's, you know, part of the reason we've taken both Houston as well as Virginia this week as dogs So two of the biggest spots, I think, in terms of look-aheads, one being a sandwich game. So that other questions that we didn't get to are all ones that we already covered. All right, so that's the hangover spots. That's the last question as we wrap up. Any final thoughts before I say final words to wrap up the pod from either Hayden or Colin?
Support the kid, 14-2. He's on a streak.
All right. Well, that'll wrap up our pod. From scheduling purposes, this is the pod being recorded Wednesday. It should be out at some point in time. You'll see it hopefully tonight or tomorrow morning. We will be getting together for our 10-minute best bet segment, which is off to a 2-1 start based on last week. Again, with Matt Lindemann, the bookmaker at CG Technology. I am hoping to be able to be a part of that, depending on where I am and how much I've imbibed from East Lansing. But we'll be getting that out and recording tomorrow night. Otherwise, that's it. Look forward to week 2. Thanks, everybody.